Thanks, Jane. And now for our final batch of stories. Now, this is quite a mixture, including how the Broadland Northway, otherwise known as the NDR, is affecting rat runs, pressure on the government over the changes to women's pension age, and a new president for a very old horticultural society.
A year on from the opening of the £205 million Norwich Northern Distributor Road, new statistics have revealed where rat running has risen, along with roads where traffic has been reduced. When Norfolk County Council was planning the 12.5-mile road, now known as the Broadland Northway, officers said it should reduce traffic on some streets in and around Norwich, but there were always concerns it could lead to more vehicles travelling down other roads, and so it has proved. Traffic monitoring has compared flow in 2015, before the NDR was built, with 2018, when it had been open for 6 months. Documents show the top 10 biggest traffic increases included 3 locations in Hockering, 3 in Western Longville, and 1 in East Tuddenham. Stone Road in Hockering saw a traffic increase of more than 45% comparing October-November 2015 to October-November 2018. Ling Road saw an increase of just under 32% and Heath Road saw a 10% rise. Sandy Lane in East Tuddenham saw a 32% hike, while in Western Longville there were increases in Western Hall Road, 14.9%, Woodford Close, 12.8%, and Marle Hill Road, 8.1%. The roads with the biggest falls were Broad Lane and Church Road in the Plumsteads, 94.7% and 37.3%, Hall Lane in Drayton, 52.6%, Church Street in Horsham St Faith, 39%, and Barker's Lane in Sproston, 29.8%. The monitoring which has been published so far does not reveal the impact of the NDR on the city centre itself or in Cossey, but the council says a separate report will be published in the summer, and the statistics which have been released so far do demonstrate that the NDR has cut rat running on the northern edges of Norwich and has reduced traffic on and near the Outer Ring Road.
A group which has campaigned for 45,000 Norfolk women affected by changes to the state pension age has welcomed a move to put pressure on the government over the issue. Norfolk County Council recently agreed a motion which supports the campaigning of the Norfolk Broads Pain Pension Action in Norfolk Group. Up until 2010, women got state pensions at 60, but the government's been raising the pension age to bring it in line with the retirement age for men. It means women born in the 1950s and 60s have twice had their state pension age increased. The current state pension age is 65 for men and women, rising to 67 by 2028. The Norfolk Broads Group, which has almost 200 members, says women were given insufficient personal notice by the government about the changes, so many were left in financial hardship because they were unable to make alternative pension plans in time. Members of Norfolk County Council recently passed a motion that Council Leader Andrew Proctor should write to the Secretary of State for Work and Pensions, calling on the government to reconsider transitional arrangements. The Norfolk Broads Group leaders, Lynn Nichols, Lorraine White and Annette James, thanked Conservative Judy Oliver for proposing the motion. The trio said, "We're delighted to gain this support, which helps keep the pressure on the government to right a wrong affecting not only us, but our children and grandchildren in the future."
The new president of Norfolk's Horticultural Society says he has some big plans to highlight that gardening is for everyone. Formed in 1829, the Norfolk and Norwich Horticultural Society, the NNHS, was one of the earliest in Britain. With a gradual decline of membership and fewer young people becoming involved, members are growing concerned about its future. Newly appointed president, Adrian Bloom, has been an active member of the society for more than 50 years when he began planting his own garden, Foggy Bottom, in Bressingham, which has featured on BBC show Gardener's World in 2017 and 2019. Mr. Bloom kick-started his tenure as president by introducing the new initiative, which he hopes will reach out to a wider audience and form the basis of a more inclusive future. On the 27th of April, the NNHS is hosting a special event at the John Innes Conference Centre in Norwich, where Mr. Bloom will hold a talk looking back at the Foggy Bottom story, where he says, It's all about the plants. Following this, there will be a forum where Mr. Bloom and the rest of the society will discuss the future of gardening and horticulture with the aim of creating a database for all horticultural organisations and garden clubs to share resources for learning. Gardening has been rooted in Mr. Bloom's life since 1946, when his father, Alan, established Blooms of Bressingham Nursery and Gardens. Mr. Bloom Sr. created a 6-acre dell garden, which he devoted to hardy perennials such as sedums, geraniums, rudbeckias and phlox.
The family of a youngster seeking potentially life-saving treatment in the United States has urged people to donate as the appeal deadline nears. Harry Deber, aged 2, has been diagnosed with stage 4 high-risk neuroblastoma, a cancer that forms in nerve tissue, affecting around 100 children each year. The Taverham toddler has been battling the disease since January last year. His family are hoping to raise £239,000 for treatment in New York that could stop the cancer from returning. If it does return, there's just a 1 in 10 survival rate. His mother, Carly Howes, age 32, and father, Ali Deber, 38, have been joined by family and friends fundraising across Norfolk since the start of the year. The appeals deadline of May the 18th is fast approaching, and Ms. Howes estimates there's £50,000 still to raise. She said, "All of the events have been superb, and we're so very grateful to everyone who's organised and helped raise money for Harry. He's had special days out visiting the ambulance service and fire stations and even had the chance to meet the Chief Constable, Simon Bailey." Miss Howes added, "We're very much looking forward to the upcoming events, but there's still time for people to help by simply donating or organising an event. Harry's heroes have organised a lot of last-minute events and have all been a huge success, so don't let the May the 18th deadline put anyone off organising an event." The family are supported by the charity Solving Kids Cancer, which has set up a fundraising page, and so far it's raised nearly £170,000. But with fundraising still ongoing, that number's expected to rise.
Concerns have been raised that the relocation of a bus stop on the University of East Anglia campus could be putting passengers at risk. The stop at the bottom of Chancellor's Drive, used by First's 25 service, was relocated due to construction work on Building 60, the university's new science block. But John Peacock, a member of the Norfolk Living Streets Pedestrians Association, says the new location is a safety hazard. He said it was unacceptable as a place for passengers to board and alight, difficult for wheelchair users to access, and inadequately lit at night. Norfolk Living Streets is seeking assurances that the former bus stop will be reinstated at the earliest opportunity. The UEA said that while buses can still let passengers off in Chancellor's Drive, it is currently not a designated stop. A UEA spokesman said buses continue to stop across the road to allow passengers to get off. However, for safety reasons, this is not a suitable area for passengers to wait for the bus, so it is not a designated stop. The nearest bus stop where passengers should currently board is further up Chancellor's Drive outside the Estates building, and all bus users are advised to use this stop until works on Building 60 have been completed. A First Eastern County spokesman said, "All repositioned or new bus stops are subject to a risk assessment at the planning stage and the safe use of these monitored on a day-to-day basis. At the present time, we have not been made aware of any concerns with the bus stop in question."
And that's it. We've now come to the end of this week's edition of Chatterbox, and we hope you've enjoyed it. You're receiving this recording because you've provided Chatterbox with your contact details. Chatterbox will never provide your data to any other organisation, and we promise to keep your details secure. You can ask to change or delete your data at any time by emailing contact@cbtn.org.uk or by calling 01603 765 365. Please return your recording to us by putting it back in the wallet, turning over the address label and popping it back in the postbox. All postage is paid, no stamp required. All news items were taken from the Norwich Evening News, courtesy of Archant, but Chatterbox takes responsibility for the contents of this recording. Don't forget, we're always pleased to hear from our listeners. You can call us on 01603 765 365 and leave a message on the answer phone. And you can also visit the website cbtn.org.uk.
Our thanks go to all the team behind the scenes at Chatterbox. Your readers on part one were Sarah Lomax and Rupert Hipwell. Our recordist this week was Peter Murch, and the editor was Carol McStravick. Chatterbox will be back next week. But for now, from me, Sarah Lusher, it's goodbye.
And from me, John Francis, goodbye.